Welcome back to Hey You Know It. I'm Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with
Katie Kazmir.
And today we're filming our fifth episode, which is filming. We're actually recording it. We're also filming it, but you won't get to see the film. So we're recording our fifth episode, and today's topic is fears and phobias.
Tell us what scares you into submission. You can send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com.
Fears, phobias, what's up?
Well, fear is nature's way of saying, watch out. And a phobia is nature's way of saying, I'm serious, watch out.
Okay. Can you give an example?
Well, fear is there for a reason. Fear is there to help you survive. And in fact, so are phobias. You know, you don't have time to evaluate everything that comes across your path. You could just be afraid of a bat and get right to the point. And so when you see one, just know that you already are. And Ron, you don't have to sit there and examine why that bat is a threat.
That's true. I mean, fear acts pretty quickly, but I mean, what I understand about phobias is that there is, in addition to just a regular fight or flight response, there's also avoidance comes along with it. So, for example, if you had a fear of bats, you might just run away. But if you had a phobia of bats, your response might be a little different. Like, you would probably try to avoid places where you might see bats, for example.
No caves.
Halloween. you know, things like that. Would barns.
Yeah.
A Batman movie.
Right. So you just avoid them. And what if you have a lover who loves bats?
Well, then you'd be screwed.
Yeah.
I guess I don't think there's anything you could really do about that. I mean, the most common phobias are like claustrophobia, so fear of enclosed spaces. I know a lot of people have that, or a fear of heights. A lot of people suffer from a fear of heights. I think that makes sense, though. I mean, you should be afraid of heights.
Absolutely. That you should be afraid of. You know, creepy crawlies, too, like insects and spiders are one of the top phobias. And
arachnophobia.
That's good. Yeah, absolutely. And you should be afraid of them. But another big phobia is the fear of dentists, and you should not be afraid of them.
I disagree. I think you should be afraid of dentists. First of all, they're afraid of themselves. I mean, they have, like, one of the highest suicide rates. So they're trying to kill themselves. You know what I'm saying? So maybe it's not really the best place to be. I don't want someone looking into my tonsils and considering death at the same time.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people nowadays, I won't mention certain groups, but they definitely have gamophobia, which is a fear of marriage. Yeah.
I know a few.
Yeah.
A few people like that looking into the mirror.
I know some people who should have a fear of marriage. And sadly, that they don't. They just keep getting married over and over and over again. I guess they have a fear of being alone. One of my favorite phobias when I was checking this out was a hobophobia.
Living in Hoboken?
No, it's a fear of beggars. Or bums, hobophobia. I don't think you can live in a major metropolitan area and really have that that fear without it being affected every time you get on the subway.
Well, being phobic, but that's, see, we got to distinguish between the fear and the phobia. Like, you can be afraid of somebody who may be a threat to you.
Mm-hmm.
See, it goes with what I'm saying. It protects you from possible harm. But if you're going to be phobic and try to avoid them, you're not going to go outside.
So I guess hobophobia, you would probably see this if you're on the subway and someone who's hobophobic would just be sitting there. All of a sudden, when they hear those words, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, they're just going to pull the ripcord and then try to get off the subway.
Right.
That would be the hobophobic reaction.
Pulling open the doors.
Yeah, trying to jump out onto the tracks and whatnot to get away from a hobo. I think that term hobo, though, is kind of outdated. Does anyone use... When I think about a hobo, I think of a guy...
With the stick and the bandana.
Yeah,
with
kind
the,
of like a cartoon... Hobo type of situation.
When being a hobo was fun, when you that really meant that you were just like traveling the country.
You were free.
Yeah.
You were free from the bonds of a job and from ownership, and there was a lot of whistling involved and cans of beans and maybe taking the trains back and forth. Like, it was a different thing. Now, hobo, kind of a stigma.
Yeah. Oh, you forgot to mention the fun songs that they would sing together in the train cars that they would ride.
It was a whole culture.
Side by side.
Maybe the hobophobia comes from, like, huge traveling bands of hobos, like, back in the earlier part of the last century. And maybe that's where that fear came from.
Yeah.
But nowadays, I don't know if you could really have a hobophobia. Maybe rich people have a hobophobia.
Ooh.
They probably think everyone's a hobo.
Right.
They're probably afraid of everything.
And they can afford to avoid them.
Yeah.
So it's all right. But how do you become afraid? How do you develop a fear? I think that
Maybe something happens to you. A lot of people have, they say, oh, something happened to me when I was a child, like a hobo came at me when I was a little kid, and now as a result, I have this severe case of hobophobia.
Or when an authority figure in your life, like your mother or maybe your father, went, and when they saw.
And transferred their phobia onto you.
So you learned, you watched them and said, I should now be afraid of hobos or bats or dentists because of the reaction. From this parent.
From what happened to your parent. I had a friend, not really a friend, this person was actually quite annoying, who had a fear of, had a phobia of birds. Now, this is a very, people like that, I'm like, your phobia is just you being high maintenance. I'm sorry. A fear of birds? Please tell me somewhere where there aren't birds. So we would try to go somewhere outside with her, and of course, if we were near a tree or some bird seed or anything, she would just freak out. Eventually, I had to get rid of her.
Birds are notorious for flying away, so what are they?
I have no idea.
What are you, it's not like they're going to come near you.
Well, I mean, it got to the point where her phobia was so annoying to me that I did want to sprinkle some bird seed, like, amongst her person, and see if I could get kind of an Alfred Hitchcock thing going. Because it was just ridiculous. Like, what did a bird ever do to you? When's the last time you were attacked by a bird? Anyone was attacked by a bird in North America?
Nobody. The only cases I've heard of is if you get too close to a nest of geese, and then the geese hiss at you when they have, they're protecting their unborn eggs. Well, mm-hmm. The eggs with the unborn
maybe don't
hatchlings.
Go there.
Yeah.
Maybe develop a phobia of being around other people's nests. I don't know. There are some other phobias. Coulrophobia, which everyone is probably well aware of, is a fear of clowns.
Oh, I've got that. I've got it bad. I am afraid. I go to. I have a friend in her guest room. There's a clown doll, and when I stay there,
ew.
Yeah, I know. And so,
why would
it's
you have
small.
That in a bedroom?
Because it's whimsical. To some people.
I'm afraid. I have fear when I see things like that I'm going to look away. I'm going to look back. It's going to be right in my face.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what. So I make her. I don't even touch it. I make her put it in the closet.
You should smash it with a brick.
Oh, only if only I could.
Why would she have that in her room? Is it a happy clown? Is it a sad clown?
It's one of those almost like a Harlequin looking clown. And it's like it's soft and it's bendable and it has.
I'm getting freaked out already.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to show up in the studio any second if we keep talking about it. It's disgusting.
Yeah. Don't open the portal to clowns coming in.
To coulrophobia. Another fear that I saw that was really interesting is vestophobia.
Don't tell me it's the fear of vests.
No, well, close. It's a fear of clothing. So seriously, I guess nudists and freaks would be and Brazilians maybe would be the only people I think who have a serious fear of clothes. Vestophobia, fear of clothing. Why would you be afraid of clothing?
And people on reality shows such as like Survivor.
They have a fear of clothing?
It looks like it. Maybe they don't, but they don't wear anything.
I've never seen any of those shows. I had no idea that they were nude.
Well, if they're like in a jungle, most of the guys are topless.
Really? That's weird, because when I watch Bear Grylls, he is like covered from head to toe.
Oh, I love that. I love Bear Grylls.
I love that show, but one time...
He'll eat anything.
He'll eat anything, which is fine, but in one episode, he did give himself an enema to survive.
I saw that, yeah.
Why did he do that?
To teach. So if you're ever in that situation, you'll remember...
I have a phobia of enemas. If I'm in that situation, I'm going to die. That's it. I would rather starve to death than insert a tube in my nether regions to try to live. I just can't do it. Where do you get the tube from? Sometimes, I guess, situations are presented for him.
Yeah, well, you know what? There's so much garbage in the water nowadays, and I believe he was on a raft when he did that. I think he just reached down into the water and picked up some garbage, and it was a tube. So,
and he was able to then do the enema. Yeah. I have a fear of that.
I love how he pronounces things, like glacier.
What does he say? Glacier?
Glacier.
Glacier. I imagine he must be the most annoying husband ever. And if I were his wife, if he came home and annoyed me, I'd be like, here's a piece of dust and a toenail clipping. Make a meal. Get out of my face. He just seems like he'd be annoying. There's nothing.
No, what is he going to do? Well, he'll never complain about your cooking.
I don't know. I think he's probably very, very needy at home. Like, he's rugged on TV and in the military, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, one of those guys is like, take care of me.
Yeah,
I don't
have a hangnail. Help.
Oh, you're right.
Right. Anyway.
Okay, back to it. Also, about developing fears, they think now unborn children can be influenced by their mother's harrowing experience.
Really?
So in utero, if a mother has a problem, they can pass it down. Like, something that has to do with hormone secretion to the baby. I don't know.
Really? How do they know that?
Because they did it with some kind of animal. I forget. I didn't copy it down.
So, for example, if the mother's afraid of I don't know, let's say a Yeti, mm-hmm. which I am. That's actually one of my biggest fears is the Yeti. I know it doesn't exist. I'm still afraid of it. Are you saying that my unborn child will then have a fear of Sasquatch or the Abominable Snowman?
If you're constantly, like, watching shows about Yetis and mm-hmm. talking about them and mm-hmm. being frightened, yes, that child may be afraid of a Yeti. But it usually works with things like spiders, snakes, and sharks, things that you should be afraid of.
But these are things that people are afraid of anyway. Yeah. By the way, I love sharks. I love sharks. I love Shark Week. I love any movies with sharks.
One of
my goals in life is to scuba dive with sharks.
I love them, too.
I don't have a fear of them. I know they can kill you. So what? You know, a lot of things can kill you.
I love them, and I love snakes.
You like snakes?
Yeah, I would go out looking for them in the yard. And I would play, we had a pond and there were snakes that would come out and they would sunbathe along the edge, the bank of the pond.
Were they sunbathing or were they wading?
They were sunbathing and I would walk around and they would hear me coming and then slither into the pond.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was like an adventure. That was what I did because we were broke.
How did you know they were sunbathing?
Because it was hot out and that's what they like to do.
Okay. They were like on a hot rock kind of a situation?
Well, no, in the grass. A snake in the grass.
But that's hiding. That's not so much sunbathing. I found another awesome phobia that I thought. This is a rhabdophobia, which is the fear of being beaten by a rod or an instrument of punishment.
Oh, I thought you said rob with a B.
No. It is rhabdophobia.
Rhabdophobia.
Fear of being beaten by a rod. I think everyone's got that as a fear, but sorry, this is a phobia. So when is this happening? This is like in the Deep South, like during slavery?
Catholic school kids from years ago.
Yeah, kind of spare the rhabdophobia, spoil the child.
Yeah, they stopped beating people, I think, at the end of the 70s.
Really?
Yeah, I think the 80s. So
and you see where society has gone. Maybe we need to bring that back. There's not enough rhabdophobia around.
That's all you have to do then, walk down the street with a rod. And just people will leave you alone.
People who went to Catholic school before 1974
right.
have this bizarre phobia. So do you have any phobias?
Well, yeah, it's funny because we have an email.
Oh, okay,
The email is, what is your biggest fear or phobia?
Okay.
I have a fear of falling down the stairs on the subway and hitting the back of my head on the
step. Now, is this a phobia? Because if it were a phobia, you would then avoid the stairs.
I think, no, I wouldn't avoid the stairs. What I'm starting to do is always making sure I have my hand on the banister
mm-hmm.
going down.
Now, how is that going to stop you?
Well, it's getting stronger, and I'm walking slower down the steps now. So I'm afraid I'm en route to a phobia.
But you should be afraid that someone's going to shove you because you're going too slow in this New York City. I think that's where the real phobia is. I think by holding on and going slowly, you are increasing your chances of getting pushed headlong down the stairs by someone who's frankly in a hurry to get to the Q train.
Well, thank you for your help on that.
Yeah. We're here to help. We're here to get rid of phobias.
How about you? What do you have?
As I mentioned earlier, I have a fear of Yetis. My uncle took me to see a movie, Sasquatch, when I was like 4 years old, and I remember being horrified.
I love that movie. I know exactly the one you're talking about.
It's terrifying. So then, being the big nerd that I am, I went to the library and I started researching and I found that there's Yeti, there's Sasquatch, there's the Abominable Snowman. I mean, there's tons of, you know, Yeti-like creatures everywhere in the world. Bigfoot, it's all over the place.
All over.
All over. So I had that fear. And then I have a fear I've been developing. I think it's actually a phobia at this point. I'm afraid of people with big watermelon tank heads. Like, people with big heads frighten me. And I'm drawn to them.
Big heads, like as in disproportionate big forehead or just a giant head?
Just like a really large head.
Does it have to be round or more rectangle?
It doesn't matter what the shape is. If I feel it's too large for the body, I get freaked out and I just want to move away from that person. I don't know. They're going to be around every corner waiting for me with their big giant heads. I don't even know what they're going to do, but it's definitely a phobia. I can't even watch Jon Stewart on TV.
Oh, he doesn't have that big of a head.
I've seen him in person. His head looks pretty big.
Al Franken has a big head.
I've met Al Franken.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
And I had him sign a book because I really like Al Franken. But when I got up there, I just started stuttering. Because of the head. I don't know what it is.
What are you going to do in comedy? You do stand-up, and most comedians
have really big heads.
I know.
And you know what? I just show up at the club, and I do my act, and then I get out.
Yeah, but all our listeners, Jaquetta has a small head. Not.
It's a pinhead.
It's not a pinhead. It's not tiny either. It's just, it's perfectly proportionate.
But it's small.
Yeah, it's not a giant.
It's not as huge.
I don't know what she's doing.
It's the way that I wear my hair. It makes it look smaller somehow. Really? But no, I do have a phobia. I don't like loud noises. I was mm-hmm. a public school teacher for years, and so I've developed a fear of that, a phobia of that. Like, mm-hmm. I freak out if I think there's going to be a loud noise.
Okay.
So that's
If you think there's going to be a loud noise, like,
yeah.
That's like, how do you... So you live in a constant state of terror?
Exactly. So, for example, I got an app that I downloaded for this. It's White Noise. It has white noise, blue noise, brown noise. And when I'm on the subway or I'm outside and I think there's going to be a loud noise, I try to set it to the noise that I think is going to cancel that noise out. So if I'm on the subway, for example, it's going to be brown noise because I'm afraid someone's going to get on there and start shouting or, you know, doing something like that. If I'm walking down the street, it's usually the white noise.
Wow. Yeah. What are you doing in a city?
I have no idea. Okay. Wearing headphones.
Okay.
That's what I'm doing in a city. Running from place to place looking for quiet and solitude like the rest of us.
I don't like buying shoes. Maybe that's
but
not really
that a phobia.
It's not a phobia. I just don't like it. Just thought I'd share.
Really? Katie is the one woman on earth who doesn't like this shoe shop.
I don't.
Why is that? As a child, was there a horrifying experience at Atomic Can somewhere in a strip mall in Mahwah? Like, what happened?
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's just where we're broke and you only get like one pair mm-hmm. every year.
Okay. And so you're stuck with that?
That's it.
It's like those spats are going to have to last all year, young lady. You chose them.
Yeah. And they never fit right, and shoes never fit right anyway for me. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, I just don't like it. It's not a fear.
It's not a fear. It's just something I don't like.
Yeah.
I don't like hot weather. All right.
Not afraid of it, though.
Not afraid.
Okay, the next segment is advice on advice. This is where we found some advice someone gave, and then we give advice on what they should have said. So it's advice in concentrated form.
Yeah, it's meta-advice, because a lot of the advice out there is frankly unqualified, and it's terrible. So, Katie, why don't you tell us, where did you find your advice, and what is it about?
Well, this was provided from a motivational speaker named Zig Ziglar, and he was saying that one of the top phobias is public speaking. Even though only maybe three people have died in the history of public speaking, doing public speaking.
Really? Everybody, like died at the podium?
Yeah.
Death at the podium.
Yeah. That's it. Out of like 12 billion people in the world who have ever done public speaking.
So how did these people die? It was the PowerPoint just wasn't going their way? And
yeah, maybe just complete anxiety and they just fell over and died. But he says it's a safe thing to do, and to get over it, you know, if you're a little nervous, this is his advice. Consider this. You lead a mule into a crowded room, so he will be so calm that he would almost go to sleep standing up. A thoroughbred in the same situation would be as nervous as a cat. So if you're a little nervous, just be grateful you're a thoroughbred and not a mule.
What?
Face those inner feelings. Stand up and speak with confidence. When you do, you'll see you're at the top.
And that's his advice?
That's his advice on how to get over the fear of public speaking.
What the animal husbandry? What is going on? If you lead a mule into a crowded room?
Yeah. So what he should have said is, if you can't speak or perform, comfort yourself by saying, are of such breeding that you can't speak. Only asses can be comfortable in difficult situations. That's what he's saying. You know, but don't knock the ass.
Well, I think that's a good thing to bear in mind. That is and this guy is a public speaker?
A motivational speaker.
A motivational.
Yeah.
You know what I think about motivational speakers? I think this advice could work if he did it in that kind of Tony Robbins cadence where you start to just nod into what he's saying and then you start to believe it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, frankly, a mule and a thoroughbred?
Yeah.
I don't understand. I've never heard...
If you have good breeding, you shouldn't work hard or stick with your opinions or belief. Those are the traits of a mule, like working hard and getting up and...
Yeah.
But...
A mule is a hard-working, you know, animal that gets things. It's a pack animal, yeah. Right? A thoroughbred, on the other hand, is like a showpiece. Who cares?
Right, and it pisses when it runs.
Yeah. So I mean, it does, you know, once every couple of years, it does a 5-minute run... Whatever. Yeah. But a mule is there. A mule is consistent every single day. This advice is terrible.
It's awful.
And Zig Ziglar? Yeah. Is that his real name?
Apparently.
Zig?
Zig.
Is the first. Z-I-G?
Yep.
Zig Ziglar.
Yeah. And also, one other thing I want to add is I kept coming across fear. Fear is false evidence appearing real.
No,
it's not. A fear is when you're afraid of something
for
a good reason. It's not false evidence appearing real. It should be frightening event apparent. run.
I like that better. Yeah. That's what fear is all about. That's what fear is all about.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, Mr. Zig Ziglar, for that stellar advice. I have a piece of advice here. this is from a website on lightmind.com. And, I mean, as per usual, the advice is incredibly long. So they have about 10 different ways that you should get over your fear. Acknowledge your fear. Take a tiny step now, reduce uncertainty, batch ideas before executing them. And then my favorite, number 5, which is plan for failure.
What?
As we discussed, failure is part and parcel of life. What does this mean? In a nutshell, if you are doing things right, you will fail often. This doesn't even make any sense.
No, it does not. If you're doing it right, you're going to fail. That's like, go sit in the corner and rock yourself back and forth.
So basically they're saying that you're right to fear failure because it's going to happen. And that's how you should prepare for it. You should go into every opportunity thinking, I am going to fail.
So developing a bad attitude. I know it's not going to work out.
Yeah. And then maybe just don't do it at all.
Yeah.
For example, this fear of public speaking, don't speak in public. Write it down, mail it in, have someone else do it for you. Don't get up and do it. This is terrible advice.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's frightening, I have to say.
It's like,
I think this makes it worse.
Apply it to anything. Like, it's not going to work out, so don't do it. So don't go out on a date because it's not going to work out.
It says here also, this may sound counterintuitive at first. Well, yes. Yeah, it is.
At first and at second and at third.
Yeah, and later on the next day, it's also going to seem counterintuitive. When you consider failure as a likely result, your rate of success will drastically increase. This makes no sense at all.
If you're successful, then you didn't fail. Right?
Well, kind of, because, you know, how can you be successful without failing is what this advice is really saying. So if you want to be successful, you'd better become great at failing, basically. What a nightmare.
Yeah.
How to get
That's
over your
terrible.
Fear of failure.
Who was this again?
Lightmind.com.
Oh, well, you know.
It didn't even have a name to it, and you know why. You know why.
Lightmind.
Why would you put your name to something like this?
Is it light as in less weight or light as in illuminating?
It's L-I-T-E. It's light as in the way
no
to
substance.
Spell it.
Yeah,
yeah, with no
okay.
substance whatsoever.
Appropriate, then.
One good thing about this piece of advice was next to it on the side, there was a link for something called a quantum jump.
What?
A quantum jump. You remember the show Quantum Leap?
Loved it.
Well, this is quantum jump where you can jump into alternate universes and discover your alternate self. And your ultimate self, for example, if you're not good at public speaking and you have a phobia of it, if you quantum jump into another universe and you can run into yourself who's very good at public speaking, you can discover that and then maybe you can have him do it. I don't know. But it's quantum jump.
Can you switch your selves into the different dimensions?
I have no idea because I didn't buy the 6 CD DVD set. But I'm imagining I would like to jump into an alternate universe where I have a lot more money and mug myself and then jump back.
Right.
That's how I would use my quantum jump.
Well, then how do you know you're getting into the right quantum area?
But you got to buy the 6 CD DVD set. I have no idea.
How many selves do you have?
It's an infinite number of cells.
God, that's so many because it's like, and how do you find them?
Yeah. I don't know. I'd be afraid that I would like quantum jump into myself that's in like the untouchable class in like India
right.
in like the 1800s.
Or
and
the
be
me,
stuck there.
The me that likes camping.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Ooh. That's awful. That's a case against quantum jumping.
Yeah, no kidding.
Do you have a phobia of camping or you just don't like it?
Oh, I just don't like it. I think it's unclean.
Well, you'd be correct. All right.
All right. Now I think we'll go over to Celebrity Corner.
Oh, cool. Celebrity Corner.
Yeah.
This was a really difficult this week. I had a hard time finding a celebrity who had some movies or related to fear and things like that. So I came up with Mark Wahlberg, Marky Mark, and your personal favorite, Matthew McConaughey.
Well, all right.
I know you love Matthew McConaughey. And I looked at both of these guys, Mark Wahlberg, birth name, Mark Robert Michael Wahlberg. I mean, he's been in New Kids on the Block. mm-hmm. which was great. Boogie Nights, Renaissance Man. And then he was in a movie.
No, he wasn't in New Kids on the Block. His brother was.
He was in New Kids on the Block. His older brother.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Oh, and then he was with the Funky Bunch.
Yeah, that's right. Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch, and he sang Good Vibrations, and he was a solo artist. And
Music for the People was the album. Excellent album. Not New Kids on the Block. Yes,
so his brother, so you're close. Well, his brother was in the Sixth Sense.
Really? So, I didn't see that because they told me what it was about. Someone ruined it for me. It's kind of like The Crying Game.
Yeah.
They ruined that for me, too. There's no need to see a movie. There's a twist at the end. It doesn't really matter anymore. So he was in Boogie Nights, but then he was in a movie called Fear.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I loved it.
You're the only one who saw that movie, Fear.
Saw multiple times.
What's that about?
Well, it's about a young girl who meets the bad boy.
Okay.
And the father doesn't like him, the bad boy, and forbids, you know, and them to see each other, but she wants to see him more, or something like that.
Doesn't he beat himself up at some point?
Yeah.
He punches himself in his own chest.
He's disturbed, and he gets fixated on her, and will stop at nothing to get her.
Okay, including raping her friend, apparently.
Yeah, basically.
That's a really alternative way of getting the girl.
Yeah.
Is to beat yourself up and then molest the girl's friend.
Right, and then bring all your posse to the house of the family, of your girlfriend's family, and try to kill them all and take her away.
So I'm guessing at the end of the movie, they don't end up together.
Pretty much.
All right. So I got Mark Wahlberg. And then I'm saying that even though I know you love Matthew McConaughey, and I do as well, and you know Matthew McConaughey loves Matthew McConaughey, I'm saying he's the discount
Mark Wahlberg.
Do you blame him? I don't blame him at all. If I were him, I would love myself. You know, his trademarks this is his trademark, curly hair.
Oh, right.
And being the protagonist of romantic comedy films.
All right.
Yeah, all right, all right.
All right, all right.
All right, all right. So he was in one of my favorite Matthew McConaughey movies is Rain of Fire. I don't know if you've seen that.
I love Rain of Fire.
I loved him with a shaved head, and my favorite quote from him is, go ahead, have your little soiree.
That was an excellent Matthew McConaughey.
Personally, you disgust me. But I'm still saying that he is a discount because he is kind of like Mark Wahlberg. He's got the looks, but he just doesn't have the chops.
He doesn't have the chops, but he's been around longer in film than Mark Wahlberg. So I don't know.
Discount?
Because he's kind of got seniority.
I think he's serving Mark Wahlberg at only 3% discount.
All right. If you want to do 3, I'd say more 2.5.
Really?
Yeah, because I question you. I question you.
I know you like him, so, I mean.
I like both of them. I do.
I kind of, you know what, now that I'm thinking about it, I think I like Matthew McConaughey more just because of the ability for me to do a little impersonation of him every now and then. I mean, and I don't know, he just looks like he would have a good time no matter where he went.
And he has excellent posture. He has the posture of a matador.
I remember when he had a baby, as he said on his blog. Were you reading his blog back when he was having a baby? He was very excited about it.
Him having the baby?
Well, that's what he said.
All right.
I'm assuming there was a woman involved, but we didn't hear a high-door hair out of it. You know what his motto is?
What?
Just keep living. Just keep living. I love it. I love it.
It's to the point and simple.
Yeah. He has a brother named Rooster. Get those two together, you're talking about a party.
Yeah.
Texas style.
Get the Rooster over here.
Yep. He's excellent.
Who's got the keg? Rooster's bringing the keg.
Rooster. And he's a big fan of Willie Nelson.
Oh, well.
He lost you there.
Yeah.
All right, all right. Just keep living.
Oh, gosh.
So if you were to meet Mark Wahlberg in a social situation, let's just say, I don't know, the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he would be dastardly or disarming?
I think that he would be disarming. He has such a gentle way of speaking. Actually, I saw him at a restaurant.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I was waiting tables, and a little boy took a plastic bottle of ketchup and was hammering it on the ground. And I was trying to wrestle this away from him, but in return give him a spoon so he had something else in his hand.
And Mark Wahlberg slide across the room.
Mark Wahlberg just looked on. Because he didn't have to do anything.
Well, he should have done something. He's Mark Wahlberg.
Nobody was in danger.
Yeah, but you were in distress. You were a damsel, waitress in distress.
It was part of the job.
Do you remember what he was eating?
I think it was a salad, actually.
Cobb salad. I bet it was a Cobb salad. He seems like he would eat a Cobb salad.
Most likely.
So what about
what about you? What if you met Matthew McConaughey? Would he be dastardly or disarming?
I don't think he'd be dastardly. I think even if he were dastardly, I wouldn't care because it's Matthew McConaughey.
I don't think there's a dastardly bone in his body, actually.
I think he would be disarmed. You know what? Matthew McConaughey might be the one person on Earth that I wouldn't, as a rabid feminist, be offended if he grabbed ass a little bit. He just seemed like he would have to do it. He had a great quote here.
He'd be like, oh, Matthew.
Yeah, he had a great quote here about on curvy women. Let's see if I can find it.
What did he say?
On shapely women, Matthew McConaughey says, I see it more with black women who get dressed up and they're wearing everything snug to fit. And that's wearing with a comma, no G.
Yeah.
Wearing everything snug to fit. And they're walking the walk and you're like, man, look at you go. Where did you get that? She might be a larger package, but boy, she sure understands how she's wrapped. A lover of sisters.
Yeah.
Who knew? Who knew?
And he drops his G's because he doesn't have time.
Yep, he doesn't have time. He doesn't have time to articulate. So I'm going to say, I think he would be fun to hang out with.
Yeah.
I think he goes in the Pamela Anderson category of you need a beer to really enjoy your time with McConaughey.
Right. But it's going to be good.
But it's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine just waking up the next day like, woo, that was fun. I don't know what happened, but we had a good time and there's some steers in here.
Yeah. You know, now that I'll bring up my celebrities, but I think they pale in comparison.
Well, let's hear who they are.
Jeff Daniels. And Bill Paxton and Bill Pullman.
Okay.
Because they're all the same.
I think of Bill Paxton / Bill Pullman is, don't they play the president a lot?
They play presidents. They play the other guy, the guy in the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need a guy, get one of them.
They're just regular guys.
Just regular guys. And I can't honestly not tell you a single movie that they've been in that I can name who is who.
I think one of them was in Independence Day.
Yep. One of Jeff Daniels, I can tell you for sure, was in Arachnophobia.
Okay.
And also Starman, which I loved.
I get Quaid's.
Quaid's
and,
are hard,
and
yeah.
Daniel's mixed up.
Yep.
There's more than one
yep.
Daniel.
Yeah. It's one big stew of Quaid's.
Of Quaid's and Daniel's.
Yes.
It's like a Quaid Daniel experience.
And you just kind of pull one up, you know, and they all are in agreement on this.
Now I'm confused. We've got Paxton in there. We've got
Pullman, Daniels.
Pullman. The only thing that's missing, I think, is Sam Neill.
Oh, right.
Can we add him on to the Pullman?
Yeah, at the very end.
At the very end.
Tom
Berenger, can he get in there?
No, Tom Berenger.
Okay. So who's who? Who's on top here? Is it Paxton Pullman?
This is the thing. You won't know because they're so interchangeable. They job share.
Have they ever been in the movie together? We don't know.
We don't know.
maybe not.
And if you talk to them, dastardly or disarming, you don't even know who you're talking to.
Yeah.
So you couldn't even say.
You're like, excuse me, Mr. Pullman, Paxton.
Jeff Daniels. You could be working with one of them in your office right now. And it could be guy in middle management.
Well, I think if it were a Paxton Pullman, it might be upper management, though.
Yeah, it could be, right.
Or they could be like a 2-star general.
Yeah. In your office?
Yeah. Well, in a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, they're no James Reborn, you know.
Yeah. So they're all the same. They're interchangeable, so there's really no discount. It's, you know, buy one, get one free, maybe.
Okay.
And
yeah.
they kind of share their price.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
So, Quaid? No, not Quaid. I'm sorry.
Jeff Daniels. Paxton Pullman, Quaid. We've got a final rant.
Oh, we do? On fear and phobia?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I think we should develop fears and phobias to better society. It's a learned behavior anyway, except for the prenatal ones. That's not really learned. That's just injected into you.
That's just like a sorry state of affairs. It's just misfortune.
Yeah. People should develop phobias of spitting, spreading their TB around. If you walk around any major city, you see everyone spitting. It's disgusting. There should be a phobia about that.
To stop people from doing it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm so phobic to spit that I can't.
First place where that phobia hits has got to be Chinatown.
No kidding, right? Make it phobic for people to cheat on each other.
Okay.
And spread STDs.
Okay.
Oh, how about make everyone phobic of post-coital small talk?
Wow. Yeah, I definitely
really
have a
bad
fear of that.
You know what?
After coitus, I'm looking for a sandwich.
You don't want to get into a conversation.
No, you don't want to chit. What's to say at that point? It's like, nice knowing you. Maybe you should think about gathering up your stuff and leaving. No, you don't need to take a shower.
People should be phobic about talking loudly on their cell phones,
mm-hmm.
not holding the door open for someone as they go through, and using too much slang because it's offensive.
And nobody knows what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're talking to someone under 18, fine. Mm-hmm. But if you notice that the person is slightly north of that,
you should start, your heart should race.
Yeah.
In with a phobic fear of saying 24/7.
Exactly.
Okay, what are you
All right, so for my final rant, I would like to quote Frank Herbert, Dune. Dune.
Okay.
You don't know Dune?
I know Dune.
Did you see the movie?
Parts. Go.
With Sting? Okay. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I just like that quote.
It is good.
Yeah, it's nice. And it's in Dune, and Dune is one of my favorite novels. But I have another one that I would like to quote my final rant.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Kay, I should have Googled that. I have no idea. But he says, why are we scared to die? Do any of us remember being scared when we were born? This kind of dovetails to what you were talking
yeah.
about. Look, my final rant is a lot of phobias are a crock of just crap, basically. There's nothing to that. It's people being high maintenance. Like that chick who's afraid of birds or, someone who's afraid of, spiders. Or if your phobia affects me, it's time to let it go. I don't have time for your phobias.
Yeah, if you're making people put clowns in the closet,
yeah.
you should be a little more sensitive.
Or if you're like some celebrities we know that have it written to their contract that no clown can be present when they're performing.
Yeah.
Things like
you're
that.
A burden.
Yeah. Get over yourself.
Right.
Do you think people in the poor areas of the world and developing nations can afford to be throwing their fears around? Oh, I have a fear of, rice or NGOs. No, it doesn't happen, people. Get over yourselves.
Yeah.
Your phobias are full of crap. Seek help.
The end.
So, thanks very much for enduring fears and phobias, episode 5 of Hey, You Know It. If you would like to write in with some comments or questions.
Just email us at heyyouknowit@gmail.com. We'd like to thank Cinema, Kim Audio, and all of you listeners.
Yep, and we'll be coming back to you soon with episode 6 with the lively topic of how to get ahead at work in this economy.
And now for your listening pleasure, Hey You Know It brings you That Fear Is Mine.
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 Wow, this intro is really long. We're probably about to start soon.
Excuse me, can I please talk to you for a minute?
Uh-huh, sure, you know.
You look kind of familiar.
Yeah, I'm in your group therapy for phobia.
I thought so. Did you say you had Bolshephobia?
Yeah, fear of Bolsheviks, Russian Marxism, Mensheviks, Trotsky.
Well, I just wanted to let you know that it's a fear of mine.
No, it's mine.
That's a lot of Bolshevik.
You need to give it up. It's not hard to see that fear is mine. I'm sorry that you seem to be confused. It belongs to me that fear is mine.
I think you must exaggerate the things you fear and things you hate. I really hate to speculate. Your fears are probably quite mundane.
I have a morbid fear of clowns, white-faced tramps with a frown. When the circus comes to town, I writhe in pain on the ground.
They look like tranny crack hobos. The fear of clowns is rational. In fact, it's international. My fears aren't just that natural.
But maybe you misunderstood. If I could face my fears, I would. Xylophobia would be good. It's a crippling fear of wood.
Like pine
I've
and
got
birds.
Real phobias. I dread all this stuff. I'm in therapy. This fear of mine. I'm afraid that,
afraid that you
think you've got phobias too.
You've got phobias too.
It's just an excuse, not genuine.
I'm so tired of your wine. You're just wasting your own time. You know that chair is made of pine.
Good Lord.
Yet you're sitting down just fine.
Okay, so what's your phobia? You claim to be so terrified.
I am.
What's this something that you hide? I hope your fear is bona fide.
You can say what you want to say.
I am saying what I want to say.
I'm afraid of the day.
You okay?
Fear of clowns I can't escape. Nephrophobia makes
nephrophobia.
My
oh my God, that's so fucked up. Okay,
I know.
You win the gold cup.
In comparison, I seem fine.
Really?
Go hide. Get on the floor. Inside. Nevermore. Go hide. Quoth the raven. I'm sorry that
you
are dealing with fear too.
Feel the fear.
It is killing me. That fear is mine.
It's mine.